A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
Do you have, let me say this, first of all, before we even dive in. 2022, guys, so I'm going to say it again. We have a Patreon, which is extra content, ad-free, early releases, and we sometimes do Zoom calls so that Patreons to talk about things happening in the media and all of that. So go check us out, Patreon, or Down the Rabbit Holes podcast.
Yeah, or if you want to scream about a case that you were screaming about in your car, you know, whatever episode it was, and you're like, I have the opportunity to actually talk to Melissa and Amy about it, that is what most of our listeners, our Patreon listeners that have that access, are able to do.
Yes, and people love that.
I mean, that's the general feeling I get, too. And it honestly feels good for us to be able to do that, too, because we can speak.
I was just going to say, we love it,
totally. It's fun. People bring things to the table. We can respond immediately. It's a little bit different and a little bit more personal than social media. So, big fan. Check it out if you're interested.
Yes.
I've got, like, nothing today, so I don't know if you do. I don't want to assume, but I'm going to give it over to you.
Nope, that was the only thing I wanted to talk about was Patreon. Although, you know, a 5-star review on iTunes would be nice, too. But, you know, we'll go keep going. So this case, it's been requested multiple times, and I've looked at it multiple times. And I want you to think, do you remember Brandon Swanson? The one that was literally on the phone with his dad when he went missing?
Yes, he was on the side of the road and he saw the lights to town. He was like, do you see me? The call dropped and that was, yeah, clear as day, pretty much.
Okay. And Chance Engelbert, you did, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, if you mush them together... That's this case. Again, guys, you can't see Amy.
Midwest, left on the last seen on the side of the road kind of thing.
Yes. Okay, let's jump in. We're going to do Tyler Davis. There's not a whole lot about his early life. He was born in June of 89. When he was 24, he met Brittany. They became good friends. In 2016, they started dating. Now, Brittany got pregnant pretty early on, and in 2017, they welcomed their son, Aaron. They also got married in 2017. So, as you can imagine, it was all happening really fast.
Yeah, totally. Whirlwind romance, baby, whirlwind year.
Yeah, late 20s. As you can imagine, money was tight, and they worked hard, but they had their little family.
Okay.
And because money was tight, date nights were infrequent.
I believe it, and I've been there.
Right. Tyler was a manager at Wendy's, and Brittany worked as a bartender. But they did something that I think is a fabulous idea for, like, young couples that are in this situation.
Uh-huh.
They agreed they were going to celebrate 3 nights a year, regardless of money, and go out. Brittany's birthday, Tyler's birthday, and their anniversary.
Good idea.
February 23rd, 2019. It's Brittany's birthday weekend. And Tyler and Brittany drive from their house to Columbus, Ohio, where Tyler's parents live. They drop their son off for a weekend with his grandparents, and they got a hotel in downtown Columbus for the night. They check in downtown at the Hilton at the Easton Town Center around 5 p.m. They actually met up with a friend who lived nearby, Sean Hughes. And the three of them, like, hung out, and at 8:30 they left the hotel to go to the shopping center, grab dinner, go to bars, go out for drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany had never been to the Easton Town Center, and I very much think it's like an outdoor, indoor shopping center with like restaurants and bars and like a whole complex.
Right. It's designed to bring people with a multitude of different activities or interests.
Exactly. So Brittany had never been there, and she was excited to, like, check it out. And the next morning, they had a couple of massage booked before they checked out and headed to get their son.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only real commitment they had. The rest was just kind of like, we'll go where the night takes us.
Yes.
Now, by all accounts, they had a great time. They celebrated, they enjoyed the night out. They, right around 3 a.m., they got an Uber back to their hotel. Now, here's where things go off the rails.
Which, they did everything right up till this point. Like, getting an Uber, doing responsible things.
Yes. Tyler fell asleep / passed out in the Uber. Which is fine. They wake him up at the hotel, and Brittany says, quote, he was confused and frustrated and wanted to go for a walk.
When they got out of the Uber?
When he woke up, it sounds like he was saying, like, this isn't our hotel, we're at the wrong place, and was just angry and wanted to, like, go for a walk.
Okay.
And Brittany was just like, whatever, like, go for a walk then.
I mean, it sounds like she might have been a little bit frustrated because she's telling him, no, this is the right place. I mean, maybe she was just kind of like, please go for a walk. Like, I need a break from you.
So she says her phone was dying and she wanted to change. So she went in the hotel and was like, if you want to walk around the hotel, like, fine. But I want to go, you know, I'm going to put words in her mouth. But if it was me, I'm going to go charge my phone, take my shoes off, and sit down. It's 3:00 in the morning. You do you.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. A lot of people might do that.
Right. So about 20 or 30 minutes go by, and Tyler and Sean haven't come back to the room. She walks back outside to be like, where the heck did you go? And she can't find them. She calls Tyler, no answer. So now she's, like, a combination of annoyed and worried.
Yeah.
He called her back at 3:37, though, and said he was just going around the block and he'll be back in a minute.
Okay. Got it.
A few minutes later, Sean gets back to the hotel without Tyler.
That's weird. Maybe?
Yeah. Now, here's where, for me, it's weird. There's no, like, statements from Sean. We do know that Sean also called Tyler sometime between 3:30 and 3:40.
Mm-hmm.
And asked him where the heck he was, because he had walked away. Okay?
Yeah.
Either way. So Brittany starts calling him now every couple minutes. Like, answer the phone, answer the phone. At 4:10, he called her back. He says, I'm going through the woods, but I can see the hotel. And I'll be there in 5 minutes. But he sounded confused and he hung up.
And yeah, my question is, are you going away from the hotel or did you already get into the woods and you're turning back towards the hotel?
And we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he immediately calls her back. And she answers, and it's silence, and then the phone line goes dead. So she calls him back. No answer. Directly to voicemail.
So my first thought is, and I'm not saying it's everybody's, so I'm not questioning anybody, but, like, I would go to, like, Life 360 or in 2017. I don't know if I had that or if it was available, but find my iPhone. And it shows how full the battery is on the person you're tracking's phone, if that makes sense.
I don't think that was an option in this case. We'll get it after the fact from...
Okay.
Let me get going.
Okay.
At 4:30, Sean, who lives like 10 minutes away, is like, I'm going home. So he goes home.
Mm-hmm.
Around 5 a.m., Brittany starts to really panic. And she calls a couple of her friends. And her friends are like, give it a little bit of time. He's probably going to come back. It's fine. At 9:30 in the morning, she calls his parents and is like, what do I do? Tells them the whole story. What do I do? His parents are like, call the police. Can you guess what the police said?
It's going to take me a while to think of something that they might say. Maybe something along the lines of, he has to be missing for at least X amount of time before we actually file a missing persons report.
Yep. They came to the hotel. They met with her in the parking lot. And the first thing officer said was, a man has a right to go missing. And since he's not elderly or a child, you need to wait 72 hours.
If we're going to not file missing persons reports, can we at least consistently decide on the frame of time? Is it 24? Is it 72? Is it 48? I don't know. Just saying.
All right. Essentially, at this point, Tyler's parents head downtown. Like, what else are they going to do? And they sort of look for him. Everyone does. His parents and Brittany search most of that day until dark. Then they get the hotel security involved. They were like, maybe something happened at the hotel. Can you pull the security footage?
Wonderful.
Exactly. And they do that. Nothing. They can't find anything yet. Then police get involved.
Okay.
Because it's been, you know, whatever. This gets confusing. Surveillance footage shows Tyler leaving the Hilton, walking diagonally away from the hotel through the Easton Common condominiums. This is the last time he's on camera. He's alone. He appears to be fine.
At what time is that?
Right around 3 when he left.
But at that time, wasn't he supposed to be with the other guy?
We don't know.
Okay.
Now, the Google tracker on his phone indicates he walked around a bank complex on Stetzer Road. Or Stelzner Road, I apologize. And at this point, he asks, it sounds like the Google equivalent of Alexa. I mean, of Siri or Alexa. For directions back to the hotel.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it all sounds like it matches.
He was walking around Abbott Labs, which is an Abbott Foods parking lot. It's a whole, like, whatever. And at that point, his phone either shut off or died.
And we don't know the battery strength or...
No.
Okay. Then what happens?
Literally nothing.
Okay. So what do police do? What do the family do?
Police will say they don't think he just walked away on his own.
I imagine that means the other option is foul play.
Yes and no. Do you want the theories?
If that's where the story ends, I sure do want those theories.
That's literally where it ends. Well, I will say they did give Brittany a polygraph and she passed.
All right. Great. I mean, if they otherwise talked to her as well and found no indication of anything else that's questionable, then great.
Right. Number one, he was victim to foul play.
Right.
Number two, he walked away from his life.
Okay.
Number three, he had an accident and succumbed to the elements.
Okay.
And then there is Reddit speak on this whole Sean character.
Okay. Where are we going to start? Where are we going to dig in?
Well, I think for me, where do you think is least likely?
walking away from your life. Now, if you were really skilled and wanted to do it, you know, you could pretend to be drunk and inebriated to kind of throw people off the trail. But pretend that isn't the thought out process. Then he would have went out, got drunk, didn't have the wherewithal, and then decided to leave his life with nothing, no resources, not a vehicle, not a train ticket, not a flight somewhere. And even if so, nothing that we can track. Also, reason. Also, no sightings of him since, correct?
Correct.
Then I find that to be not no chance, but a very slim chance.
I agree with that statement.
What's next for, I mean, you agree with that. Great. We can kind of put that on the bottom of the list, right? To almost crossing it off.
Yeah. So I wanna briefly mention that it sounds like they did end up at a strip club known for, like, seedy characters.
Okay.
There was no altercations. There's no, you know, anything, but it just discussed a lot on the Reddit. So I feel like I should mention it.
Well, for me, that would tie into foul play. For example, maybe someone saw the amount of money he had, or maybe he appeared to be wealthy, or at least just vulnerable for a few bucks. And he was followed or coincidentally seen walking alone after and taken advantage of and harmed in that way. Or if it's not related to that specific incident, he's simply just alone, vulnerable, and drunk, which is essentially just vulnerable. But yeah, and he would be a quote unquote easy target for someone.
I'm going to read this again. And if the quote from Paul Holes. Anytime you're taking a look at victimology, you're trying to assess a victim's lifestyle. Does that elevate the victim's risk? This is not any type of degeneration on the victims themselves. It's just they are putting themselves in a situation where they can run across a person that may be this type of predator. You could have a soccer mom who's low risk day in, day out, but she makes a choice to, say, turn down a dark alley, and she becomes a high risk.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like,
right.
I might try to live a really low risk lifestyle, but I go out with my girlfriends on a Thursday night to dinner and I walk alone to my car. That puts me at higher risk, right?
Right. Agreed. 100%. Now, I do want to talk about that. Let's talk about accident and succumbing to the elements.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I also think of that Brandon case. Because I have the same questions. Wouldn't we find a wallet, a shoe, a phone, a hat, a boot?
So I agree with you. But when someone is on foot, it's very different from in a vehicle. So from the last time he's heard from, or the last time that we can trace him, we can use some pretty simple math to know how far he could have gotten on foot between then and, say, 9:30 in the morning. And then you make your radius to search the whole perimeter of the area. And
they did that.
I find it hard to believe that not one shred of evidence could have been maybe connected to him or definitely connected to him. That's what I find it difficult to wrap my head around. Now, if he was in a vehicle, that changes everything. Or if he got into a vehicle or was forced into a vehicle, then it's like a needle in a haystack at that point for me.
Okay. So where does that leave you?
I think it's, again, not a zero chance that he has succumbed to the elements. But I think that pushes that, again, to the bottom of the list for me. It seems a little unlikely that someone who was inebriated, their phone died, they're searching around for something, doesn't leave anything behind, there's no witnesses. You know, by 4 or 5 in the morning, people might be getting up and going to work. No one sees him struggling.
But Amy, I also want to point out to you that he said he was in the woods, but they were in, like, a city. There aren't woods.
Right. There's like, patches of woods in the city.
Right.
That, again, leads me to believe that it would be relatively easy to search an area like that and come across something. So, yeah, I think I can safely put that towards the end of the list. So where does that leave us?
Foul play.
With foul play? Or his friend having something to do with this? Right? Is that the only two left?
Yeah.
All right. So we talked a little bit about foul play. And come back to that. But tell me more about this friend. And is it just because he was the last physical person with him that we know of? Or are there other things to the story?
Yeah, I mean, there's some character assassination on Reddit. It sounds like Sean was married, but they all went to the strip club. And they're like, oh, well, he shouldn't have gone to the strip club. Listen, like, I'm not here for that.
He's not the only married person that has done that. B, we don't know what has transpired in their marriage. Maybe they are okay with each other doing that. Maybe it's part of their marriage. Maybe it's something they share together. Also, does not equal
a murderer.
A murderer or someone that would harm somebody else. So for me, that's absolutely irrelevant that you can make a connection between that and someone's overall character.
Agreed. So, no, there's not a whole lot more.
Well, then, for me, if this guy has no history of having conflicts with people, he is not really doing anything wrong, he's a productive citizen, then he was under the influence and left a friend, which is something that a lot of people have done. A lot of people have not lost a friend. Some people have lost a friend doing something like that. That is not enough for me to say that it was any more than unlucky that that happened to him and to Tyler.
I agree with you. And I don't think, you know, I don't think he left his life. I don't think that he died by the elements. I genuinely think something happened. What? I have no idea.
So that leaves me with foul play. And it leaves me with someone wanted to take advantage of someone that was vulnerable and perhaps took him to an alternate destination to not have any connection or ties. And I don't know what happened. I mean, I can suspect that his life was taken from him. But to me, that seems the most plausible here.
I mean, that's where I land too. But I don't know why. And I don't know, like, what. I mean, it's literally what. Here's what I think I get stuck on with random foul play. Typically, with random foul play, there's no disposal of the body. Right? Because there's nothing to tie them to the body.
Except nowadays DNA.
I guess. Can I give you an interesting tidbit that's not really about the case, but about the case?
Sure.
Where Tyler disappeared is only about 15 minutes from the Ugly Tuna Saluna.
You always have all of the trivia when it comes to the Ugly Tuna Saluna. Thank you.
It's my favorite vacation destination.
Seriously, someone open that bar again. Somewhere else. Preferably closer to me. But anyway, what I was going to ask you next is, what is the crime rate in this city?
I mean, it's a higher crime city.
So, it's not completely bizarre to me to think that this was someone's opportunity to take advantage of someone vulnerable.
Like, when you Google Easton Town Center, crime. The first article is, police investigate gunfire outside Easton Town Center. Two people shot at Easton Town Center.
Mm-hmm.
CPD fatally shoots man in Easton Town Center parking lot.
Well.
There was a fatal shooting at the Target at Easton Town Center.
If you're trying to dissuade me from this theory, it's doing the opposite. Now, I know, and I'm totally being sarcastic.
I'm not.
Yeah, so for me, that says that is the most plausible.
I mean, I agree. That's where I am, too.
I actually think I land here, and I think I'm pretty solid at like a 95-98% random foul play crime of opportunity, period.
And that's kind of how I feel, too. And, you know, I know that this is highly requested. I know we're only, what, like 30 minutes in, but I wanted to cover it. And guys, you know, like as we continue to move in a direction of lesser covered cases where there's not twists and turns and all these things, they're going to be shorter episodes, and that's what's going to happen. But I think it's important to tell the story.
This is where you land too, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Foul play. I don't know why. I can't make sense of it other than random foul play. And then I can't make sense of like, well, why did they hide the body?
Also, there's no cameras at any other businesses in this area, a highly populated area.
Not that they have camera access to.
Hmm. I will say that I will never understand, but I do understand. I guess it just isn't what I would do. Like, if you're going to rob someone or steal their cash, like, why do you have to harm them? I do get it, but I don't get it. So, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and I will say the Reddit is all over the place. You know, they want to blame Brittany. They say that, like, she knows more than she's telling, and they want to blame Sean, and they want to blame, you know, everyone.
But I think that happens in these cases all the time with people wanting there to be this explosive backstory. And it's just not it for all these cases.
I agree.
But it sounds like, although police are a little bit slower than I'd like them to be, they did their due diligence in talking to people that they thought might know something or at least could tell the police a little bit about his behaviors and the type of thing that he might do or not do.
Yeah, and I mean, there's like, did they do drugs that night? I mean, I don't care if they did drugs that night. Like, it doesn't matter.
Well, what would that have to do with anything other than it further inebriating him?
And then they're like, oh, well, he could have gone to try to sleep it off on a bench somewhere. Okay. And then he would have woken up.
Well, then we would find him.
Right. Exactly. Like, okay. And then he would have woken up or someone would have found him. I want to be like, what's your point?
And the other thing, we saw him walking alone on the camera. So it's not everything, right? But we do know that he was alive and well and alone at one point. It's not like they did drugs together and then went back to the hotel room. And he OD'd, and then they all carried him out to dispose of him. He walked away alone. We know he was well.
Right, right. And we know he was trying to get back. He was asking his phone for directions back to the hotel.
That's another valid point, too.
You know, we know that he was trying to make sure that he was going back there, and for whatever reason, either his phone died or he was too drunk to follow the directions. Or, most likely, while he was drunk trying to get directions, he fell victim to an opportunist.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I think. So, guys, I guess that means we're opening it up. What do you think happened?
Yeah. Please, tell us your thoughts.
If you think he succumbed to the elements, if you think that he walked away from his life,
He did not walk away from his life. He had a wife and a newborn, a 2-year-old.
I mean, honestly, though, if that's the argument, then I think that that would be the most opportune time to walk away from your life.
at 3 a.m. when you're drunk? Oh.
No, but those reasons that he had a wife and a newborn baby, I mean, that could be the time that you feel the most pressure, or trauma comes up and triggers come up. Like, I can see why people would think that's too much. So that excuse doesn't work for me. But being drunk, 3 a.m, when you're on vacation, walking away from your hotel, making your phone appear as though it's directing you or trying to direct you back to the hotel, that, to me...
I agree with you. So yes, let's open it up.
Doesn't make
sense. Tell us what you think. If I miss something, please share.
Yeah, you said this was pretty heavily requested, right? So I'm sure you guys have some ideas about what happened or thoughts.
Yes, and we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right. Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.